Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing our I Am series, in which we have journeyed through Lent, and we're looking at all of the I Am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. We've looked at Jesus's I Am statement, that I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am the true vine, and I am the light. With each of these I Am statements, Jesus is claiming his divine nature. He is fully human and yet fully divine. And by making these I Am statements, he is declaring his divinity. And our scripture today will delve more into that. He is using the word I Am, and he is saying, I am the great I Am. Today is Palm Sunday. We remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And in today's scripture, which comes from the Gospel of John, just to sort of set the stage for you, Jesus has had his last supper with the disciples. And in the Gospel of John, we remember that there isn't really the whole formal Last Supper teaching, but rather the washing of the disciples' feet in the Gospel of John. Jesus has had that moment with them, and he has informed them, I will not be with you much longer. And he told them, where I'm going, you cannot go. He went on to tell them that he would go ahead of them and prepare a place for them, and that they knew the way. The disciples really didn't understand. You have to remember that the disciples were on the front side of Easter. We live on the backside. We know the story. We know what happens. The disciples didn't really understand. And so Thomas asked, he said, we do not know the way where are you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus responds with this scripture that we're going to read. But the Greek that is translated here as way actually means road or path. So when we're talking about I am the way, Jesus is saying I am the path. But there's something else that we need to understand. Culturally, at the time, the way also meant a way of life, a way of living. It wasn't just a road. It was a way of living to get to a certain place. And so we look at this word, the way, and we understand it means road, but it also means other things as well. So our text today comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. These words that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but through me. These words are among the most divisive words in Scripture. Wars have been fought over these words. I wonder how many people have turned away from Christianity because of these words that can be perceived as exclusionary, as claiming superiority, as if we are the only ones that can be saved. There are some in our culture that claim that the world's major religions are all equally valid, a different path to the same truth or to the same God. Our faith recognizes that we can never, ever be good enough to earn God's grace, to earn God's love. We can never do enough to truly earn that love. We recognize the need for a Savior. And I will tell you, I wholly reject the notion that all religions are equally valid. As followers of Christ, we have to hang on to these words that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I also have to concede that God is immense. My understanding of the way that God works can't even begin to fill a thimble of what God does and how God works in this world. I can't begin to fully comprehend God. Thankfully, I am not God, and my rules, thoughts, and limitations don't matter. They do not apply. The truth of the matter is that God will save whom God will save in the manner that He chooses. And your opinion doesn't matter one bit as to whom God will save. God will do what God will do, and He doesn't really care about your thoughts and your opinion. The truth is, Jesus tells us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And while these words that no one comes to the Father but through me may appear divisive and exclusionary, nothing can be further from the truth. Jesus died for the world, and the salvation that He offers is available to all. All who call on His name will be saved. It's the most inclusive understanding of faith that I have ever heard of. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know who that includes? That includes you. That includes the most vile sinner in the history of the world. If he comes to Christ and has faith, he will be saved. Jesus offers salvation to the world. So let us take a closer look at Jesus' words today and see what we might discern for ourselves. Jesus asked this question in response to Thomas asking a question, "We don't know the way. We don't know where you are going." And Jesus responds saying, "You do know the way," by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What does it mean to be the way? We talked about the Greek word meaning a path. But there is an understanding at which you can actually become the way for someone else. I'll give you a great example. Several weeks ago, I was out in the Commons area, and a young couple walked in with a couple of kids in tow. And one of our greeters, Laura Packard, was out there, and she met them. And they were looking for the nursery. And so Laura, rather than just pointing and saying, "Go this way," and go, she walked them to the nursery. By Laura walking them to the nursery, she became the way, the path, the way for them to get to the nursery. Now, there's a great lesson for that. We need greeters. If you can smile, you can greet. And the other lesson for that is when you have the opportunity to greet somebody, take them. Take them wherever it is that they want to go. And you become the way for that person. You see, Jesus had became the way for us. He led the way for us. He walked the path. He walks with us now. We are never alone. Jesus is the way for us. He led this perfect life. And he's leading us now to his truth, to the truth that is Jesus. You see, Jesus embodies the truth. We can tell the truth, but only Jesus, he alone, can embody the truth. He was the one who led a life without sin. He was the one who lived a life without conflict of thought and deed. None of us can make that claim. Many have told the truth, but only Jesus can embody the truth. You see, Jesus is the embodiment of all that is true. All that is true is embodied in Jesus, and he is our way. And it is in Jesus that we find life. Not just eternal life. We don't just claim a golden ticket to heaven, but we get to experience in this lifetime the salvation, the joy, and the peace that comes from being a follower of Jesus Christ. The joy and the peace for knowing that we know how our story ends. And that's in the arms of Jesus. That's how our story ends. And we have that joy and that peace in this lifetime. We know the truth that Jesus is everything. Jesus is life. After Jesus declares he is the way, the truth, and the life, he says these words: "No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you know the Father. You know him and have seen him." When people talk about no one comes to the Father and reference that as some sort of an exclusionary thing, they forget the rest of the verse. They forget the rest of the conversation that Jesus is having, in which he is saying, "You know the Father because you know me." Jesus is in essence saying, "I am the Father and the Father is me." It takes us back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus and the Father, they are the same, and Jesus is telling the disciples that because you know me, you know the Father. Because you know me, you know the love that God has for you. There's all kinds of scholarly discussions on the role of the Father and the Christology and the fourth gospel. And I will spare you all of it. It'll make your head hurt when you think about it. But what you need to know that Jesus is saying in this statement is that you know the Father because you know me. I am love come down, that you might experience God's love for you. I am the Father, and the Father is me. Earlier we sang Hosanna. We heard the choir's beautiful anthem, Hosanna, which means save now. Save me now. That's what we cry when we talk about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We're saying, save us now. And we are at the beginning of Holy Week, which ends with our celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And we stand on the other side of Easter. We don't really understand and experience what the disciples experienced with the death of Jesus and their sadness and their fear. We don't experience that because we know how the story ends. We know that the tomb is empty, and we are going to celebrate that next Sunday. We know that Jesus is the way, and the truth and the life. We talked last week about darkness not really being a thing in and of itself, but that darkness is really the absence of light. Well, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that a life without Jesus in your life is no life at all. Here's the deal. You are the way. You are the way for other people who don't have Jesus in their life to find that truth, to find that life. You, my friends, have the cure for sin and death. You know it. And the way you live your life, the way you share it with others, becomes the way that they can find the truth and the life that you know. You've been given this amazing gift, and you have a choice as to whether or not you keep it to yourself, or you share it, or you become the way for other people to find that truth and that life. And it's not just eternal life that we're celebrating. It's an experience of salvation in this lifetime. The abundant life that Jesus came to give us. It's a dark, cold world out there, people. There are people that don't know how much God loves them. They don't know that Christ came and died on a cross that they might know God's love and grace and experience forgiveness and eternal life. You are the way. You are the way for them to find that truth and life. You've been given an amazing gift. What are you going to do with it? I hope you'll go out and share it and become the way that others find the truth and life that is Jesus. Let us pray. Holy God, you are ever more ready to hear our prayers than we are to pray. You know our prayers before they enter our thoughts and pass from our lips. Father, we ask that you would help us to become the way that people will find the truth that is Jesus and the amazing life that comes through faith in him. Father, as we enter this holy week, we ask that you would write on our hearts gratitude for the gift that was given for us, for Jesus' death on a cross, that we might have life eternal, that we might have an abundant life in this life that's filled with the joy of Jesus' love for us and for the world. Father, help us to be the way that others can find your truth and life. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, Amen.